Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WCBS listeners know Jeffrey Lyons as our man at the movies, but a careful listen reveals Jeffrey's deep knowledge, not just of entertainment, but of history and of life. And those among us who know him smile, and we hear Jeffrey's experience and his growing up as the son of newspaper columnist Leonard Lyons, who had a more than 20-year friendship with, among others, Ernest Hemingway. Leonard Lyons shared his work with his sons, and what a gift. And that includes Jeffrey's childhood visit with Papa, a life-changing event, as Jeffrey Lyons recounts in Hemingway and Me, which is just out from Lyons Press. Jeffrey, it's always great to talk to you. Let's start with that childhood trip to Cuba and Hemingway's teaching you how to shoot a gun. What do you remember about your family's trip to the farm?
First of all, I just wanted to make it clear that it's not a self-published book. The name of the publisher, it's an imprint of a publisher, Lyons Press.
Right.
Yes, so this is bought and sold. In 1952, my two older brothers and I accompanied my parents to visit Hemingway, Mary and Ernest Hemingway, in San Francisco de Paula, outside Havana, where they had their farm, their finca. And I remember it as if it were yesterday, even though I was a child. And he took us to high-lie games, and they have a part in their farm where they had a concrete wall, and there were bottles of it. He gave us, each of my brothers, his rifle, and said that we've had some bandits. Here's what we have to do to prevent that. And, you know, I grew up watching Westerns, and I was thrilled times have changed as far as I'm concerned in the whole world of guns. But back then in the 50s, I was thrilled, and I had the movies to prove it. He put his arm around me and told me how to hold a gun, keep it steady. And it became a life-changing experience because in the intervening years, I went to Spain with my parents and fell in love with, of all things, bullfighting, which I cannot defend. But I went to Spain to live with a family for 2 summers to learn Spanish. And then a month before he died, Hemingway arranged for me to travel with his godson, Antonio Ordóñez, about whom he wrote The Dangerous Summer. And Antonio's father was a great matador in the 1920s, and Hemingway based the character of Pedro Romero on his father. And Mary Hemingway thought it was going to be a 2-week trip, like with a roadie hanging out with them. It turned into 7 summers and a lifelong friendship with Antonio. He could find the most obscure street in Brooklyn and find what he wanted. He was so curious. He's the bravest man I ever knew, and it's all because of the friendship with Hemingway. And we still have friends in Spain 37 trips later to Spain. Do you see a pattern here?
Yeah.
So that's why it was life-changing.
Your father really shared his life with you, and I know you have great stories about mm-hmm. show business and entertainment and that glamorous era of the newspaper columnist. As I said, it really is a gift that your father shared his life with you, and that really shaped not just your childhood, but your life.
It did. I have all 12,478 columns that he wrote in the New York Post and in papers around the country, 1,000 words a day, 6 days a week for 40 years. And the people he spoke to, he never once used the word celebrity. He said newsworthy. He said, I'll write about my sister Rosie in Brooklyn if she's newsworthy. And once in a while, my Tante Rosie was newsworthy. Once in a great while, maybe. And people trusted him. He was not a gossip columnist. Winchell created the genre, and they became rivals. And Winchell would write who was going around with who and scandalous stuff and a lot of controversies.
Right.
But my father wrote newsworthy items about gangsters, lawyers, athletes, presidents, movie stars, painters, you know it. And I grew up in a world, I was extremely lucky. I grew up in a world where Marc Chagall came to our house every Friday night during the war, I'm told, to get kosher food, where my father's best friend was Ernest Hemingway, Orson Welles, and Hemingway came to the house, and Marlene Dietrich. And one night when I was five, I awoke and I went into the living room. My parents were having a party, and I looked around the room, and I only recognized one person cowering in fear in the corner. It was Joe DiMaggio. And I walked up to him and I said, "Mr. DiMaggio, you're the best guest here." And he never forgot that, because at Alzheimer's Day in Shea Stadium, he called me over. He said, "Would you still say that?" And I said, "Yes." And I found out later a list of the people who were in our living room: Ernest Hemingway, Marlene Dietrich, Edward G. Robinson, Adlai Stevenson, and a few other people, too, like that ilk. So it was an amazing way to grow up, and I'm very grateful for that.
Did you save these letters? The letters, much of the book involves letters that are exchanged between Papa and your father, mm-hmm. your Papa. Did you save those when your father passed away? Was it just treasure trove you found
in Fort Knox? Absolutely. And then in 2016, my wife and I accompanied Joe and Jan Castiglione. He's the Red Sox longtime radio announcer.
Sure.
They were going on a trip to Cuba, and I said, "We are going with you. You'll save the cost of an interpreter, because I speak fluent Spanish." And we went back, and I informed the museum there outside Havana, which is where their home is. It's now a museum,
right,
that we were coming, and I was going to donate some copies of the letters. And they gave us a two-hour tour inside the house, where tourists are not allowed, lest they pilfer the items inside. And it brought back so many memories of that visit so long ago. And then in June of 2017, I came with my wife and our daughter and her then-fiancé and now husband to lecture at the Hemingway Colloquium in downtown Havana, in the hotel where he and Martha Gellhorn lived for a few years before they bought the farm in 1940.
Yeah.
So he's with me all the time.
You said that it seems like yesterday, that childhood visit and holding the gun mm-hmm. with Hemingway. What do you remember about him? Because, you know, the popular image of Hemingway is brilliant writer, in his private life, a alcoholic and a brute.
Well, that's the way he was depicted in the excellent Ken Burns documentary. But I saw a different side of him, of course. My brother that day asked him, "Mr. Hemingway, how do you write a novel?" He said, "It's very easy. You put everything you've ever known about everybody into your characters, but then you pretend the words are being tattooed on your back. That way you'll keep your sentences short and to the point." It sounds easy, doesn't it? No visitors came to the home while he was writing. He wouldn't tolerate any interruptions. He would keep track of book sales and his weight every day, and you can still see the markings on the wall next to the scale that he weighed himself in every morning.
And did he tell your father that he writes three versions of a novel and then burns the two he doesn't like?
Absolutely. He didn't want the rough notes to survive. And that brings to mind the book A Movable Feast. Hemingway and my father had an arrangement to meet in Paris one time, and my father was delayed for 2 days for some reason. And Hemingway was there in the lobby of the hotel where he had stayed before going to cover the Spanish Civil War. And the concierge noticed him sitting there and said, "Mr. Hemingway, you may have forgotten this, but there's a trunk in the basement with your notes or things in it. You have?" He said, "Yeah, I forgot about it." So he spent the next day going through the notes, and it was there that he discovered the original draft for A Movable Feast.
No
had
kidding.
My father been on time?
Yeah.
Who knows? The world might have had not have had that.
They also found a stash of his papers.
My father was sitting in Tut Shores restaurant with Jimmy Cannon, probably America's greatest sports writer of the day, and he said, "Excuse me, I'm going home. I'm going to beat up my typewriter."
they found a trove of Hemingway's paper, I believe, at the bar in Key West too.
It was hidden behind the bar somehow, and some of it was eaten away by whatever animals were back there, but they were give all Mary got special permission from President Kennedy to go back to the house after Hemingway died, and the papers are now at the Kennedy Library in Boston. And he still is so relevant today, and his writing is so amazing. I was just given for a Christmas gift a collection of Hemingway short stories, which I had never read. It's almost 600 pages, and it's just delightful. The last thing you read before you turn the light out at night, and it's just he just had a way of capturing human emotions. And then the letters reveal a lot, too. For example, he had a disgust for Representative Claire Booth Luce, later the ambassador to Italy in the Eisenhower administration, because she was among the troops in World War II, but she was wearing a fancy costume. He called it a soldier's costume, and she had jewelry on, and she was far from the front. Hemingway went to the front, and he would lead, and he was there at the liberation of Paris, commanding a group of guerrillas, which is totally illegal for a journalist to go with a sidearm and all that.
Right.
But he loved being Hemingway. You know, that was part of the aurora, that persona.
He went
submarine hunting on his boat. But thank God he never found one. They would have blown him out of the water.
Yeah, the friendship between your father and Ernest Hemingway. Yeah, your father was this newspaper columnist, and he wrote about newsworthy people, and that mm-hmm. certainly was Hemingway. But it was a real true friendship, and maybe somewhat unlikely pair, these two.
You think? Well, actually, they had one thing in common. They were both hunters. Hemingway, back in the day when hunting was not what it is today, thank goodness, that time has passed, he would go hunt lions and elephants, and my father would hunt for stories in nightclubs. He would go twice a day. My father covered 13 restaurants and nightclubs. And if he saw another columnist in the room, he would leave because he wanted exclusive stories. And he would send the columns to Hemingway in Cuba every week. And they were Hemingway's only touch with what was going on in New York. Indeed, Carl Sandburg said if my father had been writing his column during Lincoln's time, we'd really know what New York was like back then. So Hemingway referred to them as the Clips, and he really looked forward to it. And what I did at the end of the book, by the way, Paul, I found half a dozen actors who played Hemingway at different times in his life. And the book includes their recollections. Stacy Keach, Corey Stahl, who was in Midnight in Paris, Lawrence Luckinbill, Len Carreyrou, who plays the grandfather on Blue Bloods, Clive Owen, Adrian Sparks, and the wonderful movie about Hemingway. So we got all sorts of perspectives. And it's just there's amazing how his writing is still relevant today, and it makes a great book to curl up with. By the way, he and Gary Cooper were best friends, and today is the anniversary of Gary Cooper's death in 1961, shortly before Hemingway. And they were together in Montana, and they were stopping at a gas station, and Gary Cooper paid with a check. And this surprised Hemingway, and Cooper said, you see, they won't cash the check ever. They'll frame it.
That's a great Hollywood story. We know about Hemingway's sad end. I was surprised to learn that Mary Hemingway, I believe the first call that she made, probably after calling the authorities and calling for help, was to your family home.
No, correction. The first call was to my family. Then she called the authorities.
Oh, okay.
That was how deep their friendship was. It was my father who told the world. I mean, actually, he was not in New York. He was making one of his infrequent trips to L.A. So we tracked him down, and Mary got on the phone and said, this is Ketchum calling. Ernest shot himself today. And at the time, I was in the bullring in Huelva in Spain. And I remember that night. Most bullfights are late in the afternoon, but this was a special charity event. And when I would go with Antonio, I would sit in what's called the callejón, which is that behind the barrier of the arena itself. You sit among bull breeders, and you know, I don't think I stood out too much. I had a Red Sox hat on. Maybe that clued them in that I was an American. But I noticed that a hush came over the arena, and that's when the news broke that he had died. And Antonio, his godson, came out and knelt down. He wasn't in a bullfighter's costume. He was in those chaps and leather boots as they wear when they're fighting, appearing for charity. And he got down on one knee while the bull was being distracted at the other end of the arena. And he held his hat up to the sky and dedicated the death of the bull to his godfather. It was quite a moving moment. I'll never forget that.
Jeffrey, we could talk all day, I know. And it's a great book, Hemingway and Me, just out from Lions Press. As Jeffrey points out, it is not a self-published book. That just happens to be the name of the company.
The other book is the Boston Red Sox All-Time All-Stars, which was another labor of love. I picked the best players at each position in the history of the team, and I used my baseball card collection as illustrations, and I have trivia, and I have players who stopped by briefly on the way to Cooperstown. You never knew they played for the Red Sox.
Right.
Even if you're a Yankee fan, I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, those among us who grew up as Red Sox fans will want to hear that, and I look forward to a long and sad conversation with the brief, brilliant moments talking about the Boston Red Sox. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.